Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante, along with our buddy. Last time it took a year or so for him to come back on. Now it's just a couple weeks. Mr. Dustin Schutte, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Jim. How are you?
I am very good. Happy to have you filling in again. You are filling in for Jeff Byers, who is off at Wrestling Nationals. If you're a Penn State fan, by the way, you like talking about wrestling, Dustin.
You know what? I've picked up on that. I've picked up on Penn State and, dare I mention, Iowa. Those seem to be two pretty big wrestling schools, so I'm well-versed in that.
Iowa? Distant second, Dustin. Distant second.
Yes.
Just to put it another way, Alabama football wishes they could dominate like Penn State wrestling.
Yes. Okay? For sure. Yes.
So we'll never hesitate to talk about wrestling, but that's not why we have you on. We're going to be talking football. Football in the Big Ten, that your perspective on that is always helpful. Before we get started, I just want to mention, Dustin, we here locally, we're going to be doing a special live edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show next Wednesday, March 27th, from Doggy's Pub in downtown State College from 5:30 to 7:30. Dustin, who's not from the area, trust me, if you were in State College, if you were a Penn Stater, you would understand who Doggy's Pub is. We are going to have as our special guest, Sharmarek Curtis, legendary field hockey coach at Penn State. We're having Clarissa Kroll. She is the softball coach. I'm really looking forward to talking to her about the softball team, which is doing well. And Doggies, they have a really great setup for us there. We're going to get their back room area. Fantastic drink special. Dustin, I don't know if you like hard cider, but it's fantastic. I got to try it this week for the first time. It's called Blake's Hard Cider. Going to have their original drafts. Will only be $5. I'm told they're also going to be doing some pizza specials too. So you can join me, Landon Tangwall, Kendall Skalicki. We'll be hosting this. Again, it's a special edition. Keystone Kickoff Live. Doggies from 5:30 to 7:30 next Wednesday, March 27th. All right, Dustin, how about we get into some Big Ten talk? And it's been a while ago now, but I wanted to chat with you because I know you hit this up with one of your articles. Some of the gambling sites, sports sites, put out their over-unders for the Big Ten teams for the coming season. Some of the numbers. Ohio State and Oregon are at 10.5 wins at the top. Michigan and Penn State at 9.5. Next up, there's about five teams, draw up the usual suspect, who are at 7.5 wins as they're over-under. I wanted to hit you up on some of your thoughts on this. First of all, let's start at the very top. Ohio State and Oregon, both listed at 10.5 wins. Make sense to you?
Yeah, I think so. And it's going to be even more interesting, I think, and it adds a little bit more emphasis to that game because they'll obviously be going head-to-head. But I think that when you look at the talent, I mean, obviously Ohio State's been in that 11-win category for years and years. Oregon is a growing program. Under Dan Lanning, I was actually shocked, Jim, that he stayed at Oregon. I thought he was going to be picked number one to take over for Nick Saban at Alabama. So I think the fact that he stuck in Eugene, I really like what he's doing out there. I think that those two teams, when you look at what they're returning, obviously, I think you can say this about both programs. They don't really rebuild. They reload. Even though Ohio State's been on the short end of the stick against Michigan the last couple years, I still think that's a really good team. I think Ohio State is probably primed and in better position to hit the over, hit 10.5 or hit 11 wins this season, better than Oregon. But that's just my opinion. I think that those are spot on. over-unders. You can't go 11.5 because you can't expect anybody to go undefeated anymore. But I like the Buckeyes to hit. If I had to make a prediction now, I'd like the Buckeyes to hit 11 and Oregon under at 10 if I had to make a pick right now.
Well, and I think one of the differentiators is Oregon actually gets both Michigan and Ohio State on their schedule this year. And the game is at Ohio State.
Right.
So I think that's I think that's relevant to this and maybe, in my mind, the tiebreaker between the two teams.
Well, I actually disagree. Not from the Michigan aspect, but Oregon, and I know that the weather is not going to be as much of a factor as it would be for, say, UCLA or USC, but Oregon has to go to Wisconsin in November. So that, to me, is going to be really interesting to see how that high-flying offense can handle that type of climate, because we've seen teams that will air it out, and then if you get a 25-degree day in the middle of November, I mean, anything can happen. That's going to be incredible, and I think Luke Fickell's got that program. Not that they were ever really down, but the fact that they are they're trying to get back to the top level of the Big Ten, I think that's going to be a really interesting matchup.
You know, Dustin, you bring up a good point with that. I believe until now, when you looked at schedules for teams, obviously you had the East Division, knew what was going on there.
Yep.
The West Division, what you had to look for was, okay, who had the gauntlet where their cross-division games were Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State.
Yep.
And that could often determine who would win the West Division. Now the conversation is much different because you don't have the split divisions, but you start talking about who has to play those handful of really good teams and who has to deal with the weather if you're those West Coast teams.
Yeah.
So you brought up a good point about playing at Wisconsin late in the year. I was a little bit surprised seeing teams like Iowa, Maryland, Nebraska at 7.5 wins and Wisconsin at 6.5 wins. I thought Wisconsin should be I would put them with the other group. So I'm looking at their schedule to see if there's something about the schedule that would make it that way.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, you look at their late September, early October, early October schedule, and they got USC, Purdue, Rutgers, Northwestern. But I think the interesting aspect of that, Jim, is the fact that three of those four are on the road. Then you get into the tougher games where you have Penn State and Iowa. Then you finish with Oregon, Nebraska, and Minnesota. I mean, Wisconsin was not the same Wisconsin last season. At times, it looked like they were going to get it figured out. And I think that everybody talks about with Phil Longo, air raid offense, which sounds, it's such a foreign concept, Jim, at Wisconsin. You're so used to 3 yards and a cloud of dust up there. I still don't think, you go back and you look at when Longo was at North Carolina, they still produced 1,000-yard rushers. So I don't think it's going to be quite that air raid type offense. But it is interesting because I do think that when you look at Wisconsin's schedule, the easier portion of their schedule, a lot of those games are on the road. And then the more difficult portion of the schedule, because I do think Nebraska is going to be better than what people think this year. Iowa is, to me, remains to be seen. Will they figure something out on offense? I just don't think so. So I feel like 7.5 for the Hawkeyes is probably spot on.
You know what? They are what they are. They know who they are, and they still win 9 games, you know,
right,
no matter
right.
how much we make fun of them. I'll look at it the next level, just at Michigan and Penn State, 9.5 wins. Either one of those surprise you? Which team do you think is better equipped to surpass that, their 9.5 win call.
I swear I'm not just playing to the home crowd here, but Penn State is, in my opinion, way better equipped. I think that even though they're going through a schematic change, or maybe not schematic, but they're going through a defensive coordinator change, obviously, with Manny Diaz leaving, bringing in Tom Allen, I still think Tom Allen's a good defensive coordinator. And their defense is always pretty stout. I think that's been kind of a staple under James Franklin. It's a matter of if the offense is going to figure it out. Drew Aller, was really good in home games, but on the road, he struggled. I think having that year of experience and playing in some of these big-time environments, big-time games is really going to help him. I've got to be honest. Michigan losing 18 starters, Sherrone Moore, an unproven guy as a head coach. They lost a lot of their staff to the NFL, the Chargers, obviously. That's where Harbaugh went. Don't know that I'm going to make this bold prediction just yet. I would not be surprised if Michigan is not bowl eligible this season.
Wow. That's really bold.
Look at their schedule. You got to play a USC team we expect them to be good. I know that Caleb Williams isn't there. We expect them to be good offensively. They have to go on the road and play Washington. They lost a lot, but not having that game at home might be a detriment. Illinois has been feisty under Brett Bielema. You have a rivalry game against Michigan State, Oregon. You end the season against Northwestern and Ohio State on the road. I have very little faith. And can I throw this slide in there?
Sure.
They won't have a cheater on staff. Like, that's gotta hurt them.
You're talking to a Penn State audience, so you're you're playing right into their hands, Dustin, with that comment. All right, how about if we get to the next level, who's the team there that might surprise us? The rest of the teams are, they're over under a 7.5 or less. Who has the opportunity to break through?
I really think that Nebraska has a really good opportunity, and 7.5 might be right there because I think they could be in that 7-8 win category. But again, when you look at the way their schedule is, especially the way it starts, those first four games, and I don't have the non-con in front of me, but I do have the conference schedule. Their first four conference games, Illinois, Purdue, Rutgers, Indiana, and the two road games are Purdue and Indiana, which finished what Purdue was 4-8 last year. Indiana was 3-9. The back portion of their schedule does get really tough. They close with UCLA, USC, Wisconsin, Iowa. But I think if you can split those two games, I think there's a good chance that they win all four of those first four Big Ten games. If they're able to split those last two, that's six wins right there. And certainly with UNI on the schedule, I think they'll probably beat Colorado. Even if you just win those two games in the non-conference, that's eight wins right there. So I think you're looking at a Nebraska team that could get to 8 or 9 wins this season. That would be my, like, I'm not accustomed to saying hammer the over, especially with Nebraska's history recently, but I think it's safe to say you can hammer the over on that.
All right, very good. I have a couple more questions for you on this over-under. We'll pick that up in quarter number two when we come back.
Hi, I'm Andrew Blake, CEO of Blake's Hard Cider Company, located on our fourth generation family farm here in Armada, Michigan. At Blake's, we value quality, consistency, and flavor above all else, and work hard every day to deliver our products to a store near you. Here at Blake's, we are all about the apple. The apples are grown, picked, pressed, and fermented right here. We aim to excite your taste buds and aspire to explore the flavors of the farm in every can. Enjoy a Blake's today with friends and family. Cheers.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He is Dustin Schutte. I'm Jim Galante. We're talking Big Ten football with the Big Ten football expert. That is Dustin Schutte. Before we get started, Dustin, a reminder for our listeners, if you are ready to upgrade your tailgating experience, it's time for Revel XP. You know, we've got our spring game coming up in just a couple weeks, and if you're ready to tailgate close to the stadium with the tent, tables, chairs, ice, everything, all there ready and waiting for you, you got to check out RevelXP.com. They could even help you out with your catering. They have several folks that will handle catering. They'll handle that for you. And by the way, we at Keystone Sports, That's where we tailgate. We're going to be there for the spring game. So check out RevelXP.com and experience turnkey tailgating. And maybe we'll see you there at the spring game. All right, Dustin. Well, Penn State isn't the only school that tailgates, is it, in the Big Ten?
You know, I think they're the, I've heard they're the best, though. I got to get up there and experience it for myself before I can do that. But that's what I've heard. That's what I've heard.
You have definitely got to come out for that, Dustin. We look forward to hosting you out here. In quarter number one, you had put out in an article some of the over-unders for win totals for the Big Ten. And this came out a little while ago, but I just wanted to get your take from the overview, because sometimes we at Penn State, especially with the expanded conference, it's like who's who are the real players in all this? And one of the teams that I think is interesting is we all saw Washington go to the playoffs, go to the playoff finals.
Yeah.
So is that the kind of team Washington is? Well, maybe, maybe not. The odds makers are saying not with where they have a 7.5 win total for them. What are your thoughts there?
Well, again, I think that's probably similarly to Michigan. I think Washington is another team. Can you imagine if we had two teams in the national championship last year and neither one of them are bowl eligible? But I do feel like that's a legitimate, like I don't think we'd be having that conversation if the Big Ten only played 8 conference games, but the fact that they play 9, I mean, Washington, they're losing their top receiver, Rome Adunze. Michael Penix Jr. is gone. Kalen DeBoer, who I think is an offensive genius, he's at Alabama. There are a lot of players entering the transfer portal. Like, I just, and a lot of players going to the NFL draft. Their schedule, they don't have the toughest road, especially early on. Northwestern, Rutgers, we're going to get a national championship rematch in early October. Iowa, Indiana, USC, Penn State. But I just, man, to me, I think 7.5 is, I would have probably put it at 6.5. Because I think that they might be a 6-win team. I think Jed Fish is a good hire for them. They just lost their athletic director. I mean, they are in all sorts of, I don't want to say shambles, but they're in all sorts of a chaotic mode right now. So I just, to me, I think 7.5 is very fair. I think that's very generous. I think that they will get some wins. But again, when you look at all that they lost, and when you lose your head coach, and you lose your starting quarterback, and you lose your number one receiver, and you're losing some of your key guys on defense, it's going to be awfully hard for that program, I think, to get to that 7-win mark.
Well, again, this is another case where the Big Ten is so different. It's a new conference this year, and you do have to look at schedules. Again, a year ago, I could tell you every year, Penn State, well, they play Michigan, they play Ohio State. You knew who they were playing, and no offense, from a guy from the Midwest, you're a Western Division sort of guy.
Yep.
Throw those teams in a hat. It almost didn't matter which three you played.
I was going to say, you know, if this was the old Big Ten where it was split up and you were throwing Washington into the West, the old West Division, I think you could say, yeah, they'll probably get to 8 wins because there's no team that really wants to win that division for whatever reason. So, but when you look at who they, again, I don't think Michigan is that good. They do avoid Ohio State, but they play Penn State. They play USC. They play Oregon. I think Indiana might be – I don't think they're going to be, like, great, but I think they might be sneaky good under Kurt Cignetti. So even that's not a gimme game, especially when they have to go to Bloomington. So, I think if this was last year's team, I mean, I think they might go 11-1 or 12-0. But again, but the fact that they lost so much, and I don't see, this is more of like a talent thing than a scheduling thing, in my opinion.
Well, definitely it's a different team. You mentioned Indiana might be scary playing if you play them at Indiana. I'm going to throw a team out there. I'd like to get your take on it, but I feel like I want to say the same thing about Rutgers. And
yeah,
maybe it's a little bit... But Greg Schiano, they play, it's a different Rutgers team under him. They're tough, they're physical, and they gave some teams a scare last year.
Yeah, and I think, so I made this comparison before we knew the divisions were going away, but when Greg Schiano was hired, I made the comment that I thought that Rutgers was basically going to be the Northwestern of the East. And that's a huge compliment to them, because you would play, teams would look at the schedule, like, you know, Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, look at the schedule and say, oh yeah, Northwestern's a win. That's a circle. We'll put that in the win column. And then they'd go and either give them a scare, or it would be, you know, they would lose. And I think that Rutgers has kind of developed that same mentality, where now it's, instead of Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan winning those games 63-3, 21-14, 24-7. You know, they do fight, and they're not a great football team, but man, they are scrappy. And if you catch them on the wrong day, if they're able to figure out, they're like, I'm going to make another West comparison, they're almost like Iowa in the fact that their defense is really good and keeps them in a lot of games. If they can figure something out offensively, then watch out. Like, if they just get a quarterback that can stretch the field, which is something they've lacked, if they can get a guy who can, you don't have to do it often, but just a guy who can stretch the field and give them, especially open up some running lanes for Kyle Manungai, who I think is, okay, here's my Rutgers tangent. I'm sure Penn State fans are going to love this. I was at the NFL scouting combine, and I talked to a lot of Big Ten players. The guy that everybody said that impressed them more than anybody they played against was Kyle Manungai. And the fact that he's coming back, I think that's a real big benefit for Rutgers. So I think you're spot on. I don't know that Rutgers is going to be like a 9 or 10 win team, especially when you look at, you know, they got to play Washington. They basically got the entire West Coast, Washington, UCLA, USC. But they also have Nebraska, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Maryland, Illinois, and Michigan State. This could be 7-8 win Rutgers.
Yeah, it's a manageable schedule for them. And again, you know, I think we have to start looking at Rutgers differently than we had in the past. The other team, and it was interesting, when we talk about some of these teams and their big games, tough games, we still put USC in there. That's a team that, what, lost 5 games last year, lost the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. It's the name, USC. As a Penn State fan, we keep looking at Penn State's schedule and go, ooh, on the road at USC, we're scared of that game. How scary can USC be?
I think they can be really scary. And it's not in the sense of, I think, that they are necessarily going to be 10-11 win USC. It's in the sense of, like, Purdue scary. Purdue Jeff Brohm scary. In the sense of, like, when you have an offensive guru, all it takes is a few plays, and if you're able to bust that game wide open, like they can, it's kind of like you can play a team 10 times, and just on the surface, without having watched any spring games, without going through the rosters and anything, I think if USC and Penn State played 10 times, Penn State's probably winning that game 8 times. But if you catch that team on the wrong day, that's where I think the concern level, because when you have an explosive offense, you can beat anybody on any given day. And I think that that's why USC is dangerous. And that's why you can't, more than the name, I think that's why you can't chalk up a victory and just put it in the win column, because they can be so explosive. And I know they lose the Heisman Trophy winner, but I mean,
still it's USC.
It's still USC. And Tom Allen is probably going to be like up 24 hours the week of that game trying to figure out what Lincoln Riley's offense is going to do. Like, that just has to be a defensive coordinator's worst nightmare.
Well, the other part to this aspect from a Penn State perspective is you've got to go to the West Coast for this game, which leads me to the next question is, how much effect do you think this will have? Again, it seems like most of the teams in the East and Midwest are making one trip to the West Coast. Mm-hmm. The West Coast teams just have to, based on numbers, make multiple trips east. How much do you think that's going to play into, how much is it going to affect teams doing that kind of travel?
Well, I think it will affect the West Coast teams way more. And what's going to be interesting on that aspect is, we talk about body clock a lot. I'm going to be interested to see what the kickoff times are. Like, if you get a lot of and maybe not a lot, but you see Washington, USC, UCLA, and Oregon in those big noon kickoff slots. Now, it doesn't always affect them. I remember a few years ago where I think Oregon, Ohio State in Columbus was a big noon kickoff, and Oregon went in there and just, I don't want to say dismantled them, but they pretty much controlled that game. So it's not always the same case, but if you have to play a couple of those games throughout the season and your body's having to go through, okay, we actually play at noon. Okay, actually we play at 9. Okay, now we play at 3:30. That's going to be really interesting. So the teams, like you mentioned, the four teams coming into the conference that are going to have to make multiple trips to the Midwest, East Coast, because they have to, that to me is going to be really interesting. I don't think it affects the Midwest, the traditional Big Ten teams as much, because you're basically, you're gaining 3 hours, right? And I'm not to say that that's, but you get it, you basically get 3 extra hours of rest, in my opinion. So I think it's going to affect those West Coast teams way more, and maybe you'll see them wear down over the course of the season. It'll be really interesting when you get to November to see if those teams, how much the schedule, travel, and body clock affects those teams later in the year.
I think you hit a good point where it could be cumulative, and the East Coast teams make one trip out west, so you can really target it, point to it. You mentioned Oregon in the non-conference game coming into Columbus, and again, that was such a big game. I remember it, that Oregon treats it that way. It was a special trip, a one-off type of thing. That's much different than having to do this trip multiple times where it has to become part of the routine, and it has an ongoing effect to wear these teams out having to do it. Again, I loathe ever complimenting the Big Ten Conference, but I think they did as good a job as possible with the schedule, limiting those trips, spacing them out, but it still got to wear teams down. All right, Dustin, that's it for quarter two. Lots more to talk about. We'll see you on the other side.
Hi, I'm Andrew Blake, CEO of Blake's Hard Cider Company, located on our fourth generation family farm here in Armada, Michigan. At Blake's, we value quality, consistency, and flavor above all else, and work hard every day to deliver our products to a store near you. Here at Blake's, we are all about the apple. The apples are grown, picked, pressed, and fermented right here. We aim to excite your taste buds and aspire to explore the flavors of the farm in every can. Enjoy a Blake's today with friends and family. Cheers.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with our special guest today, Dustin Schutte, an expert on all things Big Ten football and college football in general. Before we get talking to Dustin, just another reminder, next week, Wednesday, March 27th, we are going to be doing a live edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. That's at Doggy's Pub next Wednesday from 5:30 to 7:30. Have as our special guest, Sharmarek Curtis, legendary field hockey coach at Penn State, Clarissa Crowell, softball coach. I'm really anxious to talk to her. Their team's been playing really well this season. And Doggy's Pub, they've got things set up really great for us. We're going to get the back room where the stage is. We'll be all set up. Fantastic drink specials. Blake's Hard Cider, original drafts, $5. Great deal, great drink. I tested it out this week just to make sure everything's good there, Dustin. Trust me on that. They're also going to be doing a pizza special. So join me, Landon Tangwall, Kendall Skalicki, as we host this special edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show live at Doggy's Pub, downtown State College, from 7:30 to 7:30 next Wednesday, March 27th. All right, Dustin. Let's move on a little bit. We were talking the first couple segments about some of the over-unders for the Big Ten teams. Really interesting there. Unfortunately, we got to kind of go back into the whole saga with college football and what's going on between NIL and transfer portal. The latest saga is Caden Proctor. And if the listeners hadn't heard his story, he was a highly regarded recruit out of Iowa. I think he was even a five-star. And correct me if I'm wrong, did he not originally commit to Iowa, Dustin?
Yeah, he I think he verbally committed to Iowa before flipping to Alabama.
Flipped to Alabama, spent a year there. Then after Nick Saban retired, he chose to enter the portal, go home to Iowa. Apparently, from what everyone's saying, started collecting some NIL money. And before even attending one official Iowa practice, he's back in the portal again. And the word on the street is he'll be looking to go back to Alabama. And the public response to this, the blowback to it, Dustin, is been incredible. And I think the one thing that really gets people is here's a guy who apparently jumped, took the money, and then he's just going to jump right back. That offends the senses of a lot of people. Does it offend your senses?
A little bit. It reminds me of that song, and I'm going to show my age a little bit because I don't know who sings it, but "Go on, take the money and run," right? That's what pops into my head when I heard that story. And I think it's not just – I think a lot of people in the Big Ten kind of laughed at this because it was Iowa and because of the jokes about their offense and not being able to get things figured out. But to me – this is like, this can happen to anybody. And I think that's what's really concerning with this NIL stuff. And people want to say, I'm not too up to date on what he took from the collective, whether it was what people donated or how much money he got or where he got it. I don't know all that stuff. But I don't know what prevents somebody from committing to a program, getting money, and then, you know what? I'm not going to fit in here. I'm actually going to go back to Alabama. I'm going to go back. I'm going to go to Oregon. I'm going to go to Clemson, wherever it might be. So to me, again, I'm an old school guy. I really don't like any of this stuff. And that's not to say, like, I think if you do an autograph session, sure. If you make jersey sales, sure. That's what NIL should be about. If you have a specific skill, you should be able to utilize it. But in this sense, where basically you're getting paid to sign your NIL or your letter of intent or transfer, and you don't ever have to prove it on the field, we're just devaluing the sport. And in my opinion, we're really devaluing education. But that's the world we live in. I think we talked last time, Jim, it's going to get to a point where they're going to have to sign like 2 to 3 year contracts because there's no other way to prevent this kind of stuff from happening. And maybe, as much as it angers me what he did, maybe in a way, this will get the ball rolling on, we've got to have some sort of plan in place because we can't have kids doing this.
Yes, I think it has to take outrage from people to react to it. And a couple points. First of all, yes, you are old talk, making a take the money and run reference. I thought I knew it, but I checked just to be sure because I didn't want to say the wrong Steve Miller Band.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So I had it, but I'm like, I wasn't sure. Let me double check. So I looked it up, and you talked about, hey, if you sign autographs, you get money. That was the original intent with name, image, and likeness. Was you show up at the university. You know, you become a star player. Hey, the local car dealership uses you in a commercial. You go someplace and sign autographs. Literally use your name, image, and likeness. Unfortunately, along the way, it turned into something else, which was, even if you weren't supposed to, money was being paid for players to go to attend, whether from high school or the portal. Now, that was, I'm using air quotes, you know, for illegal. Well, now it's went to the courts and they said, you cannot restrict players' ability to make money. So if that's the way it's going to happen. So NIL is the Wild West. It's the legal Wild West. They do have free agency. And Dustin, and we did talk about it previously, and I've talked about it in a lot of shows. It's fascinating to me, you know, Nick Saban went to Washington, which just offended me entirely that the guy who makes tens of millions of dollars is bitching about players, you know, making money. He was the wrong guy to deliver the message. The only thing that upset me more is he said, oh, NIL will kill competitive balance. Wait a minute. You're from Alabama and you're worried about competitive balance. I digress. But, you know, the only way to fix this, I don't think fans really have an issue with players making money.
No.
What they're having an issue with is the players jumping. Hey, this player chose Penn State. He's coming to Penn State to play. And then another school offers more money and off they go. We don't get to see that player develop. We don't get to call him our own. And that's the part. So in this example, although it was offensive if he got money from Iowa and never played for them, the bad part is him having the freedom to go back and forth between schools.
Well, and I think, too, there's never, first of all, to Nick Saban's point, there's never been competitive balance in college football. Like, that's just, get that out of the way. But I think, I go back to me growing up as a kid as a Purdue fan. And obviously, Purdue has had some really good seasons, but they're nowhere near the same category as a Penn State, an Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson. We can all agree on that. But one of the true joys of my life was going to watch Drew Brees play. And imagine now, Drew Brees has a great sophomore season, and then he's just gone.
Yeah.
Right? In the NIL, because now Ohio State comes calling. Texas, where he was from, comes calling. Texas A&M. Some of these other schools that have a more traditional power, they have a better chance of winning a national championship or playing in a New Year's Six Bowl. They have more NIL outlets. They have, you know, better chances for them to get money. And I think that maybe, I hope, that's what Nick Saban was talking about. You, like, there for these big-time programs, Penn State is always going to have great players. Year in, year out, they're always going to get the recruits. They're always going to have players that you're like, I'm glad I get to go see that guy. Indiana, Illinois, Purdue, Minnesota, very rarely do you get those type of players. And so the fact that you have players that go, and I'll go, this is going to be not really a dig, but I'm sure Penn State fans smiled big when they saw Jordan Addison leave Pitt to go to USC. But when you're a Pitt fan and you're like, are you kidding me? This kid had an outstanding career. I wanted to see him play next season at Pitt. I wanted to enjoy another run. Nope, sorry. The money's better at USC, so I'm going to leave. That's where I think it gets really frustrating because, to your point, they can just go anywhere. There's no rules in place. If you don't have as good of an NIL as another big-time program, sorry about you.
And that's where the issue is. Again, not that I don't think anyone would deny Drew Brees being able to make money.
No.
And that's where I think the contract, as you mentioned, is the only solution. But you can't expect the players to give up the free agency for nothing. And that's where there's literally billions of dollars coming into the system. And, you know, I've been advocating paying the players, and I did it mostly to make my math easy, Dustin, saying $100,000 per player. Had I done another number like $75,000, the math would have been tougher.
Sure.
But 85 scholarship players, it's $8.5 million. Do that easy enough. That is much less money than what's being paid to Nick Saban alone.
Right.
And James Franklin and all the other named coaches. But if you give a player that amount of money, but I think it's also important to give them the option. You could sign that contract, which will commit you to a school for 2 or 3 years, or you could choose not to and not get the payment and have the free agency. And if you're a high school kid coming out, boy, and by the way, that doesn't restrict their ability to make NIL money. If I'm guaranteed as an 18-year-old to make $300,000 over the next few years, have my college education paid for, I think most of them would jump on that. And by the way, if it's 3 years, they still have a shot at free agency.
Right, exactly. And I think to that point, what would happen in that scenario is all it would take is one kid to say, you know what, I'm not taking that. I'm going to bet on myself to suffer an injury. God forbid, wait, I don't want this, but if something were to happen, suffer an injury, maybe you get benched. Let's say it's a big-time quarterback. You get benched, you suffer an injury. Now your option is Toledo or Miami of Ohio, and you're not getting, maybe you get a local deal worth, I don't know, $10,000. you would want the guaranteed money, right? So I think that there might be some players and some people who are in your ear giving you bad advice, but all it takes is one example of something going wrong where kids are like, you know what? I'll take the 300 grand and the 3 years, and then I'll either go to the NFL, or if I don't like what's happening here, I'll use my – and you could still use a redshirt technically. You could still have another year or two. So I think that that's a great idea.
Exactly, Dustin. You framed that well. I have one more point to add to that, which I'm going to do when we come back in quarter four. Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to revelxp.com for more info.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He is Dustin Schutte. I'm Jim Galante. We're talking Big Ten football and college football in general. But first, a quick note, if you are ready to upgrade your tailgating experience, it's time for Revel XP. It's almost time for the annual spring game, and if you're ready to tailgate close to the stadium with everything set up for you, literally turnkey tailgating, check out RevelXP.com. They could even help you out with your catering. By the way, we at Keystone Sports, we're going to be there for the spring game tailgating. So check out Revel XP and experience turnkey tailgating. Dustin, I want to get to another topic, but before I do, we were talking about this Caden Proctor saga where he jumped Alabama to Iowa, back to Alabama, took some NIL money. And I think we both agree the one solution that they have to get to is get the players to sign a contract where they're committed to a school for multiple years. The only way to do that is you got to compensate them for it, which with all the money in the game, I think you could do that. But I think you could give the players the option whether to sign that contract or not. If, for example, if you're Arch Manning, where money is not an issue coming into this, hey, having the freedom to jump for literally millions of dollars if they want to beats that $100,000 or so you might get per year, which was the number I used. You brought up the fact all it would take is one of those guys to get injured for them to say, uh-oh. Well, I'm just going to add to that. There are so many of these guys who are, you know, four stars. There's a lot of guys who are four stars. I'll limit it to the top 100 guys. That includes about, there's like around 35 star guys, but another, the top of the heap for among the four star guys, say the top 100 players every year. They may be the ones that think they are automatic, you know, they're going to be big time. It doesn't take an injury, Dustin. Some of them just never make it. Where that $300,000, if it were 3 years of 100K, that would look really good to some of those guys who may never get off the bench, Dustin.
Well, I think one guy, and I believe he was a five-star. I'd have to go back because it's been a while since I followed recruiting, but look at JT Daniels' career.
Yes.
Where did he, USC, Georgia, never really was, I mean, injuries. I mean, he wasn't everything that they thought he was going to be. Tate Martell, I don't know that he was a five-star, but a very highly recruited four-star player. I mean, you do have players where maybe they were overhyped or maybe their skill set didn't. Spencer, I'm not going to remember his name now. He transferred from Oklahoma to
Spencer Rattler.
Spencer Rattler, yes. I wanted to say Spencer Strider because I'm a Braves fan, but that was way off. But Spencer Rattler, another guy. Now, he didn't have quite the downfall. He was a starter for South Carolina for a couple years. But those are the type of situations where you're going to bet on yourself. Okay, well, maybe we're not going to pay you as much as you think we should. You know, so I think you're dead on. Sometimes it's overhyped. Sometimes the scouts don't know what they're, I don't want to say they don't know what they're looking at because generally they hit the five stars on the head, but sometimes you just miss and you're not going to be that type of player.
A few years ago, I did this exercise. You know, Penn State has always been looking for that five-star elite quarterback, and they never had one until Drew Aller, right, as far as within the James Franklin era, his recruiting. I think his highest-rated quarterback was like number 200 until he got Drew Aller. But it caused me to say, okay, what's the guarantee? And I went and looked, and I found over like the previous 7 years, I think there had been 15 five-star quarterbacks. Now, these guys should be a given. And back then, transferring means you failed. You didn't get the starter shot. Over half of them had transferred. And by the way, over half of them would have been classified as a bust. So I'm even thinking, Dustin, if you're the elite of the elite, take the money. That is now your floor.
Right.
If you're at a good school, whether it's Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, Alabama, or maybe even like you mentioned Drew Brees at Purdue, if he came along today, would it be the worst thing for him to collect $100,000 a year, still be able to do NIL,
right,
and after his 3 years, he could either go to the NFL or transfer somewhere else and cash in with NIL? But at the very least, you Purdue fans had him for 3 years.
Exactly. And I think that's all people want is they want to when a player is with their program, they want them to know that they're bought in. And whether that's literally or figuratively bought in, I don't think it matters. I just think that people are getting frustrated with the fact of, because I've said this a million times to, you know, hundreds of different people. It's like, okay, we'll look at recruiting rankings. Okay, well, it doesn't matter. What's going to happen at the end of the season? Are you going to have half your recruiting class, or are they going to transfer out? There's been a ton of teams that have brought in players through the transfer portal from Georgia, Florida, Alabama. What's to prevent them after spring practice saying, you know what, it sucks here, I'm going to transfer and go somewhere else, or I'm going to go back home? It's just a crazy situation. And so I think that that's what people really want. I agree with you. There's still some of those curmudgeon, like, players shouldn't make any money, education's enough. Like, there's still some of those people out there for sure. But I would bet that 90% of people actually don't care that players are making money through NIL. They just want to see them have some level of commitment as opposed to, hey, you know what, I'm going to try out four different schools in 4 years and see how that goes.
Right. You want them to be... I want him to be a Penn Stater, you know, and it's wonderful. We have as a colleague now, Landon Tengwall, who is he had to retire medically, but he talks about how he's a Penn Stater through and through, and perhaps even more so now without football, because it's about the rest of his life and the rest of his world, and he's very much committed to Penn State. Let me bring up, I want to go to one more topic with you while I have you, Dustin, which is, we talked about, you know, the whole NIL and more so the transfer portal and what that's doing to the game. The other huge effect is all of these teams changing conferences.
Yep.
It's the Big Ten killed the Pac-12.
Yep.
It's on, the blood is on the Big Ten's hands and Fox's, Fox TV's hands. The death of the Pac-12. They caused it to happen. Well, now that's not enough. The Big Ten and Southeast Conference, they want another scalp. They want the ACC. And we just found out Clemson has joined Florida State in fighting the ACC's grant of rights. How is this going to turn out?
I don't know, because I'm not a legal beagle by any stretch of the imagination. And I don't know exactly how all these courtroom things play out, but I can't imagine that the ACC is going to last in its current format more than like the next 5 years, because I think at some point Florida State and Clemson, whether it's, my guess would be the SEC, but they're going to join one of those two conferences, and then you're probably going to see the ACC like cobbled together, kind of like the Big 12 has, where they've had to go out and get some of those, a Cincinnati, Houston, UCF. The ACC may still be able to have enough major programs like Virginia, North Carolina, Duke, Miami. They might have enough, and where they're able to get some teams where they're the ACC. But in terms of like the ACC of old, it's not like the Big 12 is not what the Big 12 used to be. And I think that's eventually what's going to happen to the ACC.
I think it has to. And the interesting thing, too, with the ACC falling apart, or when it does happen, is can the Southeast Conference and the Big Ten absorb it? Now, what's amazing to me is those two conferences are, they are aware of every single dollar.
Yeah.
So there's been talk like the Southeast Conference may not want Florida State, or like Florida, who's already in that state, will say, hey, wait a minute, we don't want Florida State here. Will South Carolina say, we don't want Clemson? And it's that kind of thing that might lead them to the Big Ten. But what it also does is Virginia, North Carolina, they may be the more attractive schools because that's new turf. Neither right. the Big Ten or the Southeast Conference is there. They may, those might be the teams that they want.
Well, I'm going to go to your first point in that you said Florida and South Carolina may say, no, we don't want Clemson and Florida State in this conference, but Texas A&M did not want Texas in the SEC, and the SEC said, okay, well, they're going to bring Buku Bucks. So I think that they might have some resistance, and certainly Florida State and Clemson are not the same brand as Texas. It's they're just not. So they might, teams like Florida and South Carolina might have a bigger voice in that, but I think They're just gonna weigh the pros and cons. What's interesting to me about this, and I don't know the academic side of things, but the Big Ten has always targeted and appreciated academic standing as well. And so that's why I think maybe when it was rumored that they were going expansion, North Carolina was a big time name in terms of, so I wouldn't be surprised if when this ACC thing folds in the next 4 or 5 years, if the Big Ten does target North Carolina and Duke, or North Carolina and Virginia, or a couple of those other teams. Because I don't know what we're going to get to. I don't know what the number is, but I'll be shocked if we're not at least 20 within the next 5 years.
And it's, we'll, we talk about the Southeast Conference and the Big Ten being the evil empires, and they are.
Yep.
They are not looking out for the best interest of college football. But the power behind the power, it's ESPN and Fox.
Yep.
And they're the ones driving it. So if ESPN says to the Southeast Conference, oh, yeah, you're going to take Florida State because we're going to pay for that,
mm-hmm.
it's going to happen. But it makes me wonder, like, how much more value is there? We've all gone broke betting that they'll run out of TV money. Okay, it just doesn't seem to happen. But there is the point where, hey, does this new team actually make us more valuable and make up for us splitting the pie more ways, Dustin?
I think what's eventually going to happen, and I think I'll end on this note, is there's two teams that I think will eventually join the Big Ten. And people can resist this as much as they want. I think it's going to be Miami, because you're going to get that Florida yeah. market. They're a very high academic. That's actually a private school, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it is.
The other one is Notre Dame, because I think what Notre Dame's going to run into, even though they're dead set on keeping their independence, I think eventually what's going to happen is the Big Ten and the SEC are going to say, you've got to join a conference or we're not allowing our teams to schedule games. And then because Notre Dame's not going to want to play Air Force, Army, Navy, Toledo. I don't know why Toledo's on my mind, but they are. Pitt every single year.
I agree with you. The one thing that's guaranteed, Dustin, is things are going to keep changing. All right, Dustin, thank you so much for filling in. Thank you all for listening. That is it for our show today. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info.